church again to ascend. Help us sing this one.
Atmosphere of worship. You know, wherever Jesus went, he was always, people were always coming to him for him to heal them or deliver them or help them with whatever problem they were facing. And he's still the same today. So if there's anything that you need in your life, this is a time in the service where we have a time of prayer and of praise. And we have a prayer team that will line up here on the front. They know how to pray and use their faith and agree with you and believe God. So whatever it is you're facing, you know, we have a couple of prayer requests. We have someone requesting prayer for their husband to get a job. You know, God can take care of that problem right there. Someone needs prayer for their children. And I know there are a number of people that face, doesn't matter if your kids are 2 years old or if they're 42 years old, sometimes they need the help of the Lord, right? And we're going to pray for that today. And blessing over people's businesses. So if you have a need, we've got one more song that we're going to sing right now. But just feel free to come out. We take this time because this is a part of being a local church. We want to join our faith together. We want to believe God with you. Sometimes you get weary standing on your own. But if you come and join your faith together, the prayer of agreement is powerful. Amen. And so in this last, don't wait right till the end, but right as soon as we begin singing, just step out of your seat and come forward, and we're going to pray and believe God over every situation. Amen.
Is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the dead to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. The power of the risen.
Joining together and singing, I believe in you. Amen. Welcome to church this morning. We're going to take, this is our mingle minute. It's a minute. Just look for someone that you don't usually talk to. Catch up with them. Guys are good at what they do, aren't they? So good. Well, welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Welcome to those who are watching Facebook Live, watching on our app. So glad you've joined us. It's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? You glad to be here? Thank you, Lord. Just we come first of all and we worship God and we minister to Him, and then we open our hearts and we receive the word from Him. And that's the way to start your week, isn't it? You know, this week we were, I've been trying to clear some closets, but I don't get very far because yesterday I got to two drawers, like my two bedside drawers, and I found some old cards that I wanted to keep, some greeting cards I wanted to keep. So then I got up on a ladder and I got my box down. That's unfortunate, sorry. Batteries do that, right? But anyway, so I got a long story short, I got up and I started putting the greeting cards away, and then I found old photos, and that was like the end of what I was doing. I made more mess. But anyway, we found this picture. You got it, Dan? Is that an old, look, who are these skinny young people? This was 1982, and Pastor Steve and I, isn't that funny? We weren't even married. He looks mad. He wasn't mad. But anyway, the reason it made me think of that, because what we were doing is we were helping, that's Pastor Theo in the background and probably my father-in-law, Pastor Pat, but Pastor Steve's dad, Pat, had a construction company, and they were helping build Christian Family Church Johannesburg. They were building Christian Family Church Johannesburg, the first building they ever built. And we were at Bible school at night, and in the day we'd go and help build the church. And I just thought about it, you know. When I say I'm glad to be in church, I sincerely mean it. I mean, you know, we've been going to church a long time, and there's a reason. That's something I'll never regret in all my life, is the time that I've put into the house of God. Amen. You know, we've all done a few things that we think, well, that was a waste of time, right? This is never a waste of time. What you give and what you give and serve and do in the house of God is never wasted. And what you receive from the Word of God transforms you forever. Amen. So I'm so glad you're here. And I pray that you receive whatever it is you need from the Lord today. Amen. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors. If you're here for the first time, what we like to do is just give you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? Anyone here for the first time today? Or sometimes people are here for the first time, but they're too shy to put up their hand. Okay, don't see it. If you are and you're too shy, make sure you see that handsome man over there and grab a visitor pack from him. Thank you. Our purposes of our church, the four main purposes of our church, we want to help you to know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference with your life. Amen. So we're expecting big things in church today. If you're on social media and you'd like to go ahead and share the Facebook Live, share the app right now. It gives us, we have more than twice as many people watch online than are actually in service today for whatever reason all around the world. So go ahead and share that. That way you're able to spread the word to people around you. Thank you, my dear.
All right. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. We're glad to see you today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I want to say thank you to our singers and musicians that did a wonderful job of leading us in worship today. Won't you give them a big round of applause? How many of you believe that our God is a God of miracles? Let me see your hand if you believe God is a God of miracles. How many of you trust in God for a miracle in your life? You trust in God for a miracle in your life? I'm believing God for miracles in my life because He's a God of miracles and He loves to display His greatness. All God is looking for is faith. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen? So let's pray and get into God's Word this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us. We thank you, Lord, that this week you've protected us, you've provided for us, Lord. We thank you for every good thing in our life. We know that it comes from you. And Lord, today we're glad to be in your house, Lord, gathered with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for your word today. And Lord, I pray that you will anoint me as I speak your word. I pray that you will bring understanding and revelation to our hearts, Father. I pray that your word will penetrate deep into every heart, Lord, and that we will not just be hearers of your word, but I pray that we will be doers of your word in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. This morning I want to speak about don't take the bait. Tell your neighbor, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. This was the first sermon that I ever preached at Christian Family Church Johannesburg, the church where you saw in the picture where I gave my life to Christ. And I had spoken in the Bible college when I was 19. Pastor Theo asked me to teach in the Bible school, and I had taught different Bible classes. But the first time Pastor Theo asked me to speak in the Sunday service, I was 20 years old. It was 1982, And, you know, Sunday was a big deal. Our church seated 3,000 people, and we had two services on Sunday. So we had 4,000 or 5,000, maybe more, on Sunday morning. And first time Pastor Theo asked me to preach, this was the sermon that I did. Now, hopefully today will be a little better than I was 20, 35 years ago. But this was basically the message that I'm going to share with you. 35 years later, it's just as important to me as it was then. It's just as relevant, maybe more so today than even what it was then. When I say don't take the bait, I'm talking about not falling into the enemy's trap of offense. I've seen so many people fall into the enemy's trap of offense. And what I'm going to speak about today, I believe is so important for every one of us to really understand. This message really could save you. It could save your soul if you heed it. I've had many people that have sat and heard me preach this message and yeah, Pastor Steve, amen, I agree. And then it's like they never heard a word I said, because 6 months or a year later, they do exactly what I was trying to warn them not to do. In Luke 17, verse 1, Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. What that means is offenses are going to come. It's impossible that offenses do not come. We are all going to have opportunities to take offense, to get offended, so we should expect it and we should be prepared for it so that we react the right way when it happens. An offense is simply Satan's trap that is designed to hold you back from becoming everything God created and ordained for you to be. The word offense in the Greek word is the word skandalon. And it literally means a trap stick or a snare or a stumbling block or an occasion to fall or stumble. A skandalon referred to the part of a trap to which you would attach the bait. So when Jesus is talking about offenses will come, skandalon will come, he's saying that we're going to have opportunities to take offense and be offended, but don't fall for the, don't take the bait, because if you do, you fall into a trap, into a pit that the enemy has set up for you and is designed to stop you from progressing in the things of God. Are you still with me? A skandalon refers to the part of a trap the bait was attached, trying to ensnare an animal. And it really signifies laying a trap in somebody's way. That's really what an offense is in our lives. And that's how you need to see it. It is bait that Satan has set up to try and trap us. In Luke 17, verse 1, if you read the Amplified Version, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, snares, and traps set to entice to sin are sure to come. And the New American Standard Bible says, it's inevitable that stumbling blocks will come. Jesus said we must watch out for things that the enemy is going to bring across our path, like bait to a trap. I've seen so many people fall into that trap. I remember a few years back, we had Prophet Ed Trout at our church, and he'll be back with us in February. Prophet Ed will be with us, and I remember him prophesying over a couple in our church, and he said this to them. He gave them a word, a prophecy, and he said, I wrote it down, so I'm not, you know, I'm quoting it. He said, I really believe you guys are going to prosper. Wealth is coming to you in an amazing way. Just do right and don't get offended. He said, don't get offended in the church. Don't get offended about things around you. Don't take an offense. He said, that's the trick of the devil. Both of you, don't do it. Just walk and be full of confidence, because God's going to help you. Success is coming your way. Seriously, some serious money is coming your way. It was a warning from the Lord to them that God had these wonderful things ahead of them. And he told them, don't get offended. And you know what? Guess what? They got offended. They're not sitting here today. Last time I heard, that prophecy hadn't yet been fulfilled, because they got offended. They were in our church and they left. And God specifically pointed them out and said, don't take offense. I've got this coming. And they didn't listen. I pray that that's not you today. I've seen people receive amazing prophecies in their life, but then they fell into this trap of offense. They got offended. They missed God's plan for them. They missed God's best. I don't want you to miss God's best. Amen? Someone run. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 11, the scripture says, now, Paul said, he said, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive them. He said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Do you know that if you are ignorant of Satan's devices, he can take advantage of you? I don't want the enemy to take advantage of you. I don't want you to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Paul said the reason that he forgives is so that Satan cannot take advantage of him. He said, I forgive them just as you forgive them, so that Satan cannot take advantage of us. The Living Bible says it like this: a further reason for forgiveness is to keep from being outsmarted by Satan, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. You know, we must be familiar with the schemes of the enemy, because if we're not familiar with his schemes, then he'll outsmart us and he'll take advantage of us. And if you take that bait of offense, you fall into a pit that the enemy has set for you. Offense is a tool of the devil to stop us from doing God's will and God's purpose. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, the Bible says that they will come to their senses. Paul said, I pray that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do the devil's will. I want to do God's will. How about you? The Passion Bible says, who caught them in his trap so that they would carry out his purposes. And the Living Bible says that they can now begin to do the will of God. God wants us to fulfill his will, but if we fall into this trap of the enemy, we fall into a pit, and it stops our progress in the things of God. And instead of fulfilling God's will, we end up fulfilling the will of the enemy. Now, anyone, I don't know if we have any hunters out here, but I'm not a hunter, but anyone who's hunted knows that if you want to trap an animal, you need two things for that trap to be successful. Number one, the trap must be hidden from the animal. The animal can't realize that it's a trap. And number two, you've got to have some bait on the trap to lure the animal to the trap. Well, let me tell you, the enemy knows the same thing. He's going to try and camouflage this trap so you don't realize this offense, this the opportunity that comes to be offended, you don't realize it's hidden. You don't realize that it's actually a trap. A trap's got to be camouflaged, and a trap's got to be baited in order to lure and capture that animal. And that's exactly what the enemy, the devil, tries to do to us. He tries to bait us into taking an offense. And if we fall for the bait, then we fall into a trap. And then he's taken us captive to do his will. Jesus said this, speaking about the last days in which we're living. In Matthew 24:10, he said, in the last days, many will be offended. Many will be offended and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey. And they will stumble and they will fall away and they will betray one another and they will pursue one another with hatred. Jesus said, many will be offended. He's talking about Christians in the last days. Is that happening today? Do you know that there are millions of Christians right now in America that are sitting at home instead of being in church because they got offended? They got offended at God, or they got offended at a Christian, or they got offended at the church, or they got offended at a leader, but they're sitting home right now, millions of them, that claim Jesus is their Lord, but they're sitting home because they got offended. Let me tell you, offense is everywhere. Jesus said, as long as you're here, offenses are going to come. As long as you're living in this world, someone's going to say something that you don't like. Someone's going to say something you don't understand. Something's going to happen that hurt, you know, someone's going to hurt your feelings. There's always going to be reasons to take up an offense. And you know, in the world we live in today, it's not just the people that you know that are around you. You can get offended at people you never even met before because of social media. Everyone's opinion can go public today. And you read what someone said on social media and you get all flustered and you get all upset and you think, man, I don't agree with that. Why would someone say something like that? And then you call your brother, you call your sister, you call your friend. You say, can you believe that they think that way? You take the bait and you spend energy on that offense, on things that really don't matter to your destiny. Let me tell you, you cannot take the bait of offense and live in peace and live in victory and live in joy. You got to let it go. You can't swallow the bait. And then we spend all our time trying to figure out what somebody meant, dissecting every word. Listen, what could anybody say that would be more important or would be that important to your destiny? You got to learn to drop it, let it go. Let me tell you, the quicker you let go of an offense, the quicker you'll be free. The other day, I spilled some wine on the carpet. I was in bed, and I had a glass of wine. Oh. Pray for me now. Someone's going to get offended. And I had this glass of wine next to my bed, watching TV. I was late, and I was going to go, and I knocked it over. I bumped it over. And I think Jill had already fallen asleep, and it wasn't just a little bit left. I bumped it over, and oh, my goodness. I just want to go to sleep. But I knew I had to get up and go get a cloth and go clean the carpet because I knew the longer I leave it, the harder it is to remove. Do you know it's the same way with offense? If you've got a stain of offense on your heart, the longer you allow it to be there, the harder it is to get rid of. But the sooner you let it go, the better off you'll be. Proverbs says in Proverbs 19, verse 11, it says, a wise person demonstrates patience, for mercy means holding your tongue. When you are insulted, be quick to forgive and forget it, for you are virtuous when you overlook an offense. Another translation, the English Standard Version says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Let me tell you, it does us no good to go around offended. If we'll get good at overlooking an offense, we will live a more satisfied, a more peaceful, a more joyful, a more happy life. And you know, Jesus was no stranger to offense. People were constantly trying to trap Jesus into taking offense. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, says, when he was verbally abused, he did not return an insult with insult. When he suffered, he would not threaten retaliation. Jesus faithfully entrusted himself into the hands of God who judges righteously. There's a major key right there to not taking offense. When Jesus was insulted, when Jesus was abused, he didn't retaliate. He didn't take offense. What did he do? He didn't entrust his life to someone's opinion or some false accusation. He entrusted his life to the one who was in control of his life, to the Father who judges righteously and who judges justly. Can you say amen? That's what you've got to do. Instead of being offended, family, you've got to entrust yourself that God is taking care of this. That's where Jesus found his resolve. Other people's opinions didn't affect him. You know, sometimes we take offense when no offense was intended. We've got to recognize what is happening. Offended people really can be divided into two categories. Those people who have genuinely been mistreated and treated unjustly, and then those people who think that they've been treated unjustly. Do you know that most of the time that people take offense, there's no reason for offense? Do you know that most of the people that got offended with Jesus, the reason they got offended with Jesus is because they misunderstood something that he said? Even if you have been genuinely mistreated, do you have a right to be offended? No. We're all going to have to learn how to avoid offense and how to let go of it. Even the Apostle Paul had to work on this to stay free from offense. He wrote in Acts 24, verse 16, he said, I always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and toward man. Paul said, I strive to have a conscience that has no offense. No offense toward God and no offense toward man. Paul had to work at not being offended. Do you know it takes effort to stay free from offense? You got to determine, I'm not falling into that trap of offense. Paul had a lot of opportunities to get offended. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? When's the last time you got thrown in prison for sharing the gospel? When's the last time you got beaten with rods for doing a good deed? Well, Paul, that happened to him many, many times. He had a lot of opportunities to get offended. Think about all the persecution that he suffered. But you know what? Paul gave it all to God. Just like Jesus said, I entrust myself to the one who judges righteously. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 14, he said, Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Another, the Amplified says, the Lord will pay him back for his actions. In other words, Paul's saying, I put it in God's hands. This one's been real, done me a lot of harm, done me a lot of wrong, but you know what? I'm putting it in God's hands. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to show evil for evil. I'm going to put it over in the hands of God, and I'm going to live my life free of offense because I know that the Lord is on my side, and he's going to take care of it. He fights my battles. Amen? Paul gave it to God, family. He didn't take the responsibility on himself to be the judge and jury of everybody's opinion. His attitude was, I'm giving it to God. I got things to do. I can't walk around with an offended heart. I can't go around with bitterness and anger and expect to be everything that God has called me to be. We got to have that same attitude, family. We need to learn to turn the situation over to God like Paul did, like Jesus did, because offenses are going to show up. The question is, how are we going to handle it when it does? It's not the case of if it does, but when it does, how are you going to handle it? Have you ever put a bite of food in your mouth? Maybe you were trying something new, but you didn't like the taste of it. You know, I'm very particular, and I have actually spit food out my mouth into the napkin. You know, not very nice. But if I don't like the taste of it, I just spit it in my napkin, man. Let me tell you, if you ever taste the taste of the bitterness of offense in your mouth, that yucky feeling in your mouth, don't swallow it, spit it out. Don't let it go down into your innermost parts. Take a moment and think twice about taking an offense. Is it going to benefit you any? Is it going to make your life better? Is it going to make you more happy? Is it going to make you more joyful? I mean, you might be winding down your day at work. Maybe it's 4 p.m. and a co-worker leaves you out of a very important meeting. And you've got till 4:15 to decide if you're going to take that offense or if you're going to spit that offense into your napkin. I mean, are you going to take that home with you? Are you going to let it upset your whole day? Are you going to let it disturb the peace in your home? What are you going to do with that offense? You've got to learn to step back and think twice before taking an offense. Recognize it for what it is. You know, there were certain people in the crowds. Whenever Jesus would go places, they were always trying to stir up trouble. They wanted to trap him. They wanted to capture him. They wanted to stop him. They wanted to seize his life. They wanted to take him and stone him. But there's an important thing that Jesus did. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 39, it says they tried yet again to arrest him, but he slipped through their fingers. The Weymouth Bible says he withdrew out of their power. He just slipped right through their fingers. You know, Jesus wasn't playing Houdini here. He's not playing hide and seek. But Jesus did not give in to their opinions. He didn't try and defend himself. He didn't stir up strife. He didn't send in the apostles, the disciples, you know, go sort them out. He ignored the opinion of others, and he just moved on his way to the next thing that God has for him. He literally slipped through the fingers of offense, and he moved on. Nobody captured Jesus' life. Let me tell you, he gave his life willingly. He made the decision to lay it down. Do you know they could have never taken Jesus if he hadn't willingly given his life? He didn't let anybody change the course of his destiny by offense or by their insults. He said, I got an assignment from God. I'm entrusting my life to the one who judges righteously. And you too have to learn to slip through the fingers of offense. If you're going to go to the places that God has for you, no offense is that important to waste your time, to take your attention. Because let me tell you, if offense can't upset you, then offenses can't control you. And if an offense can't control you, you'll be free to live a life of joy and victory. You need to shake off any offense. Give it to God. Can you say amen? We all have opportunities to be offended in life, family. At our job, at our school, about maybe a friend or family. I mean, Thanksgiving's coming up in just a few weeks. Many of you are going to be with your family, and some of them can be offensive. Can I give you a key? Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Offenses come every day in every part of life. But what concerns me the most, and what I really want to focus on today, is not getting offended at God, and not getting offended at the church, and not getting offended at a Christian. Because when you do, let me tell you, the enemy wants to try and get you offended, and the reason, his purpose, is to steal the word of God from you and to stop you from progressing in the things of God. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus told a very important parable about the sower. And in verse 14, he said, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Do you notice that Satan wants the word of God? I said, do you see that Satan comes immediately? He's trying to steal the word. Say, Satan wants to steal the word from me. It says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word of God, immediately they receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. But afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the... Why does the persecution and the tribulation come? For the word's sake, to steal the word. It says, immediately they stumble. And the Amplified Bible says, immediately they are offended. You see, being offended and stumbling is the same thing. They become displeased. They become indignant. They become resentful. And they stumble and they fall away. That's what the enemy, his ultimate purpose is, to steal the word of God from you, to stop you from serving God, stop you from coming to church, get you offended, get you to fall away, get you to fall in his trap. That's what is behind that offense. Satan wants to steal God's word from you. He wants to stop you from following Jesus. If he can get you offended, let me tell you, then he can. And the enemy will look for opportunities. He'll look for opportunities to try and take advantage of them to get you to fall into that trap of offense, to get you to take offense at God or to take offense at church, maybe by something someone said to you, or maybe something that they didn't say that you think they should have said, or maybe by something someone did to you, or something that they didn't do that you thought they should have done. No matter what people say about us, no matter what people say to us, no matter what they do against us, we must not fall into the enemy's trap of offense. We must not take that bait. Can you say amen? We cannot harbor offense in our heart, because the spirit of offense, it affects you, not the one who hurts you. The enemy will try and get you offended in church. Some people have gotten offended by a leader or by a pastor. People have gotten offended with me. Stop coming to church. Stop serving in church. I've had people get offended at me and leave the church. And then I don't even know why they're offended at me. And when I call them, they don't answer my call. They don't return my phone call. They don't return my text. They think they're hurting me. They don't realize they're in a battle for their soul. And I'm here to try and help you to make the right decision and to keep serving the Lord. That's why I'm trying to reach out to you and contact you. Let me tell you, often people leave a church where God put them, where God placed them, and then they end up not going to church at all. Why? Because the enemy stole the word from them. He wants to steal the word of God from you. That's what makes you dangerous, is your knowledge of God's word. Amen. Even when I was a young Christian, 20 years old, I noticed that people who got offended, they picked up an offense. I noticed they tried to spread that offense to other people. And sometimes people pick up an offense from somebody else. In other words, someone else is offended, and then they share it with another person. And the next thing you know, now that person is offended by what this one was offended by. You know, sometimes people, they disagree with things in church, or they see faults or weaknesses in leaders, and they get offended. And then they voice their opinions to other people. And can you believe, Pastor Steve, can't believe it. Listen, Romans 16, verse 17 says this. It says, dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to give you one final word of caution. Watch out for those who cause divisions and offenses among you. Watch out for people who spread offenses. When they antagonize you by speaking of things that are contrary to the teachings that you've received, don't be caught in their snare. Watch out. Watch out for people who cause division. Watch out for people who stir up trouble. Watch out for people that want to try and, you know, ensnare you and spread offenses. Watch out for that. Proverbs chapter 6 tells us that one of the things that God hates is when somebody sows discord. God hates when someone sows discord. See, if we take an offense and then we start spreading that offense, we actually are yielding to the spirit of Lucifer, because that's what he did. Remember, a few weeks ago, I went into a lot of detail on this, that Lucifer was an angel in heaven. He was created by God, but he became proud and he tried to take God's throne. You can read this in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He tried to exalt himself above the Most High God. And the Bible says that he convinced a third of the angels to rebel with him. He convinced a third of the angels. We're talking about billions of angels. A third of the angels, he convinced them to rebel with him. And the Bible says in Revelation 12, there was a war in heaven. And Lucifer and his demons, those who followed him, were cast out of heaven. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven to the earth. That was when he was cast out of heaven. And Lucifer became Satan, or the devil. And he's the enemy of God. And he's the enemy of our soul. And he tries to get people to take offense at God or at his church. And then the enemy inspires them to talk about what offended them, so that he can divide us and get other people offended. We got to recognize, family, offense for what it is. Don't let it trap you. You got to realize there's no perfect pastor. I know you thought that you had the perfect pastor, the only one. My wife still thinks that that's true. No, no. There's no perfect pastors. There's no perfect leaders. You know, it's amazing to me, people come to church and they expect that you would forgive them and love them and accept them no matter what, and absolutely we do. But just let the pastor make a mistake or say something they don't like, and the next thing you know, man, you know, crucify him. I've seen people leave the church because they got offended by a leader or a pastor. You got to realize the only difference between you and I is that I have a calling and a gifting from God. I don't have any special ability to be a super duper Christian. God uses me in spite of my faults, in spite of my weaknesses. There were many people that God used and God chose that made mistakes and had weaknesses and had faults. And I wonder if we would have gotten offended at them if they were your leader, or if we would keep following them. Many great leaders God used in the Bible made some big mistakes, but God chose them and God used them anyway. I mean, Abraham, the father of our faith, he lied to Pharaoh about Sarah being his wife. He said she was his sister because he was afraid Pharaoh was going to kill him. So Pharaoh was just about to try and sleep with Abraham's wife, with Sarah, when the Lord stopped him. And Pharaoh said, why did you tell me she's your wife? And then Abraham slept with his maid Hagar to try and, wanted to produce the heir, the baby. I wonder if we would have got offended at Abraham, or if we would have still been following Pastor Abraham. How about Moses? He killed two Egyptians. He buried them in the desert. And then he had to flee to Egypt. He married a Cushite Ethiopian woman. God told Israel not to do that. Aaron, his brother, and Miriam, his sister, they got offended at Moses. They didn't agree with him. They started criticizing him. I wonder if we would have got offended. You might sit here and say, no, that could never happen. All of the whole nation of Israel, all the Israelites, they all agreed with Miriam and Aaron. What about David? David committed adultery. Then he arranged her husband to be killed in battle. I wonder if we would have been offended or still continued to support Pastor David. But how about Prophet Hosea? He married a notorious prostitute. I wonder if we would have been offended or say, hey, did you hear Pastor Hosea? He got married to the most notorious prostitute in all of Palm Beach County. I can't wait to meet her at church on Sunday. It's going to be such an amazing service. This is in the Bible. How about Peter? He denied the Lord 3 times and cussed people out. I wonder if you, oh man, Pastor Peter's preaching today at the church. You know, about 33 weeks ago, he denied the Lord 3 times and cussed everybody out. But praise the Lord, we want to welcome Pastor Peter to come and preach at our church today. How about Paul? He killed Christians, he imprisoned Christians, but God chose him, God used him in an amazing way. You know why? Because God chooses and God uses imperfect people, because that's the only people he's got. There ain't any perfect people out there. Even if Jesus himself was your pastor, even if Jesus came down from heaven and said, I'm going to be the pastor of Ascend Church from now on, I guarantee you, he'd do things that would offend you. Not that he would do anything wrong, but many people got offended, took offense at Jesus, and he was the only perfect man. He was the only one who never, ever sinned, and people still got offended at him. I mean, Jesus offended his own family. In Mark chapter 3, it says when Jesus' family heard what he was doing, they thought he was crazy. They thought he was insane, and they went to get him under control. And the Bible says that Jesus' mother and his brothers, they came to see him, but they stood outside. They refused to come in. They sent someone in to tell Jesus, come out, we want to talk to him. They were offended at him. And Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Anyone who obeys God is my brother, my mother, my sister. Jesus said, if you love mother and father or sister or brother more than me, he said, you're not worthy of me. I've had people say, I can't come to church, Pastor Steve, because my wife doesn't want me to come. I can't come to church. My husband doesn't like it. Let me tell you, honey, you need to put God before your husband, before your wife, because one day when you stand before the Lord, you're not going to be able to use your wife or your husband as an excuse. You're going to give an account to God for yourself. Let me tell you right now, family, nobody and nothing should stop us from serving Jesus. Nobody and nothing should stop us from serving Jesus. That's what the Bible, I'm giving you the scripture. The Bible says if your partner walks away because of your faith, let him go. That's what the Bible says. Jesus' family, they thought he lost his mind. But because he was obedient to do what God told him to do, they all ended up saved and they were all in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Jesus' preaching offended people. The Bible says in Matthew 15, 12, these disciples approached him and they said, don't you know that what you just said offended the Pharisees? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were offended by what you said. How did Jesus respond? Did he say, oh, I'm so sorry. I better go change that now. I don't want to offend anybody. No, he said, stay away from them, for they are nothing more than blind guides. And do you know what happens when a blind man pretends to guide another blind man? They both stumble into a ditch. Jesus said, leave them alone. Stay away from them. They got offended at your preaching. He didn't change his preaching. Jesus didn't compromise the truth to keep people from getting offended. I tell you something, when you preach the truth of God's word, some people won't like it. Some people will get offended. I've had people get offended. Yet everything that I've ever taught from this platform, I give scripture and verse for every single thing that I've said. Some people get offended because I've had people get offended because I teach on prosperity. One of them prosperity preachers. Yet there's more scriptures in the Bible that talk about prosperity than any other subject. But then I realized, hey, people got offended by Jesus' teaching. Yeah, some people they would rather hear you preach something different. But you know, you can't come to church buffet style. You know, you can go have lunch and you can go to the buffet and you can say, well, I'll take some of that chicken. I like it. I'll take some of them rice. Ooh, that's good. Nah, I'm gonna leave that cauliflower. I don't care for that. I'm gonna leave them spinach. No, thank you. Apple pie. I'll take some of that apple pie. That's how some people come to church. Oh, I like that one. I like that. I don't like this. But listen, you have to be willing to receive everything the Word of God says. Everything the Word of God says. Amen. We take a few minutes every service. My wife takes a few minutes, teaches what the Word of God says about, you know, God wants to bless you and about giving. And we want to build people's faith up. You know, we want people to walk in the blessings of God. But, you know, sometimes people have got offended. But you know what I've discovered? You know who gets offended when you talk about giving? People that are not giving. The people who get offended when you talk about giving is people that are not giving. The people who get offended when you talk about tithing is people that are not tithing, the ones who need it the most. Let me tell you, I've seen some people in our church, you know, because they started watching some critical preacher. You better be careful who you watch on the internet. Be careful who you watch on the internet. I tell you right now, I don't watch preachers that criticize everybody else. Anyone who criticizes this one and criticizes that one, I don't listen to people that criticize. I want people that build people up. I like people that preach for something instead of preaching against something. Are you with me? Don't watch or read preachers who are critical, because let me tell you, that critical spirit will get on you. If you're unsure about something, I invite you to come talk to me. And if you've got a question, I'll do my best to explain it. But stay away from people who are critical. You know, I've heard people critical of Joel Osteen. I've had people in our church. God brought them to our church. I'm thinking of a couple right now. God set him free from alcoholism. He was an alcoholic. God set him free. He got saved. God planted him in our church. He started listening to people on the internet who were critical of Joel Osteen. And the next thing, he became critical of me because I preach a lot like Joel Osteen. I love Joel Osteen. And he became critical of he listened to people who criticized Joel Osteen. And the next thing you know, he's critical in some legalistic church now, not attending here. Let me tell you, family, why would you listen to someone who criticizes a man like Joel Osteen who has led millions of people to Christ and they've never even met him in their life? Anyone who's reaching people for Jesus, why would I say something negative about them? Do you know what it is usually? Jealousy. That's all it is. Joel's got a huge church, and so the tallest tree catches the most wind. Do you know that Jesus' teaching offended some of his own disciples? In John 6, verse 53, Jesus said to them, unless you eat the body of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have eternal life. And when many of Jesus' followers heard these things, it caused a stir, and they said, that's disgusting. How could anybody accept that? Without telling anyone, without telling him, Jesus knew they were outraged, and he said, are you offended by my teaching? Are you offended by my teaching? And look at this, verse 66. So from that time, many of the disciples turned their backs on Jesus and refused to be associated with him. Can you imagine? So Jesus said to the 12, what about you? Do you want to leave too? And Peter said, Lord, where will we go? No one gives us the words of eternal life. Can you imagine having the opportunity being one of Jesus' disciples? Can you imagine being able to walk with Jesus for 3.5 years and turning away from it because you got offended by something he said that you didn't understand? That's what happens in church. People get offended by something that they don't really understand. You know, I would say, listen, hang in there, honey. Hang in there and grow in the things of God. Was what Jesus was teaching, was it wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. They just didn't understand. He was talking about the fact that he was going to shed his blood and he was going to give his body for our forgiveness and for our healing. He wasn't saying to eat his flesh. He was talking about receiving his life. He was going to give his blood. But they didn't understand it. If they would have hung around a little longer and not got offended and not left Jesus, they would have understood it. Do you know Jesus offended people from his own hometown where he grew up? In Matthew 13, it says when Jesus arrived in his hometown of Nazareth, he began teaching the people in the synagogue. And it says that everyone was dazed. They were overwhelmed with astonishment over the depth of the revelation they were hearing. And they said to one another, where did this man get such wisdom? Where did he get such miraculous powers? And isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? And on his four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judah, aren't they with us? On his sisters all here in Nazareth? How did he get this revelation? How did he get this power? And the people became offended, and they begin to turn against him. And Jesus said, there's only one place a prophet isn't honored, and is in his own hometown. And their unbelief kept him from doing mighty miracles in Nazareth. They got offended at Jesus. Jesus didn't react to those who got offended and left him. He would carry on speaking the truth of God's word, even if it meant confrontation and offense. Jesus offended John the Baptist. Did you know John the Baptist? John was in prison, and he heard about the things Jesus was doing, and he sent his disciples to ask, are you the Messiah, or should we keep looking for someone else? John sends a message to Jesus. Are you the Messiah, or should we keep looking for someone else? Doesn't that seem like a strange question for John to ask? Wasn't he the one who baptized Jesus? Wasn't he the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? So why did John ask, Are you the Messiah? You've got to put yourself in John's position. John had the most talked about ministry in the entire nation. I mean, he's on the cover of Charisma magazine. People from all over the world come to hear John, be baptized by him. He's lived a life of self-denial. He's lived in the desert, eating locusts, fasting, wild honey. He's spent his life preparing the way for the coming Messiah, and now he's in prison, and hardly anyone's coming to visit him. All the attention is on Jesus. Even the few people that do come and see you, all they talk about is Jesus and what he's doing, and he lives a life very different from the life you live. He eats and he drinks with tax collectors and sinners. They break the Sabbath. They don't even fast. You spent your whole life fasting and eating honey and locusts, and now you say, man, I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove on him, but this isn't the way a Messiah should behave. I spent my life preparing his way, and he hasn't even come to visit me. If he's the Messiah, why doesn't he get me out of jail? Look what Jesus responded in Matthew 11. Jesus answered, and he said, go tell John the things that you hear and the things that you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You notice, John the Baptist got offended by Jesus. Now I'm going to close this out by telling you there's four options you have, four ways of dealing with an offense when it comes. Number one, first thing you can do when you have that opportunity to get offended is ignore it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 verse 9, never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you, but instead respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God has promised to give you. Do you know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 9, Jesus, he determined he was going to Jerusalem, and he didn't let anything distract him from fulfilling his mission there. For the time for him to be lifted up was drawing near. And the Bible says he sent messengers ahead as envoys to a village of the Samaritans. But as they approached the village, they were turned away. They would not allow Jesus to enter. He was on his way to worship in Jerusalem, but they wouldn't let them enter. So when the disciples, James and John, they realized what was happening, they came to Jesus. They said, Lord, if you wanted to, you could command fire to come down from heaven, just like Elijah, and destroy all these wicked people. Lord, why don't you just send fire down and just destroy them all? Jesus rebuked them. He said, don't you realize what comes from your hearts when you say that? For the Son of Man did not come to destroy life, but to bring life to the earth. And the Bible says, so they went to another village instead. Jesus just ignored it, and he just moved on to another village. He just ignored it. Sometimes the best thing you can do is let it roll off your back. The best way to avoid falling into that offense trap is just ignore it. Just don't pay any attention. Don't take the bait. Second thing, you can forbear or cover it over. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. The word forbear, it means to patiently restrain an impulse to do something. It means to refrain, to abstain, or to stop, or to avoid, or to resist the temptation. To forbear means, I'd like to respond, but I'm going to restrain myself from responding. Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, be patient in bearing with one another's faults. It says in the New Living Translation, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And the Good News Translation says, show your love by being tolerant with one another. The another translation, the NIRV, says, put up with one another in love. And the Voice says, tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. Let me tell you, we all got weaknesses. And we all got faults. Say, I've got some faults. But the Bible says that we should tolerate and we should be patient, and we should realize that we all have weaknesses, that none of us are perfect. It's easy to take offense, but let me tell you, it's a trap. God says, rather be tolerant, rather be loving. Forbear can also mean to cover it, to cover. In Genesis chapter 9, the Bible says that Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and he was drunk, and he became uncovered in his tent. Okay, so Noah, he's been on the ark 40 days while it rained, then another 150 days while the waters receded. Someone said, you know, if you'd been cooped up with your relatives for 190 days, you might get drunk too. And the Bible says, Ham, the father of Canaan, he saw the nakedness of his father, and he told his two brothers outside. I can imagine him telling his brothers, you're never going to believe what I saw. Dad's out there making a fool of himself. He's drunk and he's passed out naked in the tent. You're never going to believe it. His two brothers didn't take the bait. Their attitude was, we're not going to be drawn into discord, into gossip, into making other people look bad. even though it was true. They didn't take offense and spread it. You know what they did instead? The Bible says Shem and Japheth, they took a garment, they laid it on both their shoulders, and they went backward. They walked backward into the tent so they didn't look at their father, and they covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned away. It says, so when Noah woke up from his wine, he knew what his younger son had done to him. He said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. Let me tell you, some people think that it's godly to expose a person, but God doesn't think so. God thinks it's godly to cover somebody. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Love forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Listen, we've got to do what Shem and Japheth did. When we hear something juicy and it's true, instead of exposing it, we cover it up. We don't go around spreading it. Because when you cover a person's faults, you're on God's side. When you expose a person's faults, you're on the devil's side. He's the accuser of the brethren. It's easy to have an opinion about everything and go around telling people what we think and what we would do. Here's a key that will help you to avoid offense and make your life so much more peaceful. Are you ready for this one? Number three, mind your own business. You see what you learn when you come to church? Mind your own business. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11. Do you know that's in the Bible? Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business. It's actually in the Bible. God said, mind your own business. Don't be a busybody where you got to know everything about everybody. Listen, I found it's hard enough to run my own life without trying to run everybody else's life. If you can't ignore and you can't disregard and you can't forbear and you can't cover it up, then you got one last option, and that is go speak to the person. In Matthew 18, 15, it says, if your brother wrongs you, go and show him his fault between you and him privately. If he listens to you, you've won back your brother. The last option you have with dealing with an offense, if you can't ignore it, you can't forbid, you can't cover it up, your last option is go to that person. Don't talk to others, go talk to that person. Because if you don't deal with that offense, you'll end up like Cain. Cain got offended at God, he got offended at his brother. God was pleased with Abel's offering because Abel, the Bible says, Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. But Cain just brought an offering, and so God didn't receive, and he wasn't pleased with Cain's offering. Cain got mad at God, got mad at his brother, and killed his brother. He killed his brother. And the Bible says in Genesis 4:11, God said, now you are cursed. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you. No matter how hard you work, from now on you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth. Do you know, Cain got offended at God. He didn't feel like God appreciated what he'd done, but he didn't do what God said. God said, bring the first fruits of every, bring the first, well, that's what Abel did. And Cain ended up a homeless wanderer. You know, I've seen this happen in church so many times where people, they get offended when they see someone else being blessed or someone else being promoted or someone else being appreciated. Some people get offended at God. They feel like God's failed them. Cain ended up a homeless wanderer, going here to there, never bearing fruit in his life. Let me tell you, if we live with offense, we live our life under a curse. How many church members get offended and leave where God put them, where God planted them, and they end up homeless wanderers, go from here, go to there, never settle down. They go from church to church, they never settle down. They live with an offended heart, and they never bear the fruit, and they never become everything that God destined and created them to be. Let me tell you, if you take offense, and I'll close with this, you're the one who suffers. I mean, you may have been deeply wounded. You may have been deeply hurt. I'm not denying it. But you don't have to allow it to destroy your future. You can forgive and move on with your life. Amen? You can forgive and move on with your life. Let offense slip through your fingers. Don't let what they did stop you from being blessed by God. Harboring unforgiveness and offense, it will stop your progress in the things of God, and it will delay God's plan and purpose for your life. You can wind up wasting years of your life because of an offense towards someone that you never released. It's deadly to hold offenses in our heart. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your future. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, listen to this, Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. The Bible says you've got to release that person if you're holding anything against someone and let it go. Regardless of how bad someone hurt you, you must forgive. Because you will not move forward in life until you let go of offense. You got a choice. You can take offense and carry it with you wherever you go and voice it to everyone that you know, trying to get sympathy, get them to agree with you. Or you can choose to do what God says, forgive and move on. Paul said in Philippians 1:9, I pray that your love may abound more and more and that you may be without offense till the day of Christ. I pray that your love would abound more and more and that you would live without offense until Jesus returns. Don't fall for it. Don't take the bait. Don't get caught in the enemy's trap. Forgive it, forget, and move on with God. Amen. Do you agree with us today? You know, I'm so glad. I'm really so glad that I learned this and got a hold of this when I was 20 years old. This was the first message I told you that I ever preached. I determined I'm not going to fall into the offense trap because I've had many opportunities to get offended. And I remember it's so funny thinking about this message. That after I preached this message, you know, Pastor Theo, my pastor, was gone. He was gone 3 weeks, and he had three different pastors in our church. I was one of them. I did one Sunday, and then he had another pastor. And when he got back, he had all the pastors in a meeting. And there were about 20 pastors, about 20 pastors on staff. And I was the youngest. And he went to the first band, and he said, you preached this message, to, you know, when I was gone, and you did a great job. And he gave him all these compliments. And then he went to the second one, and he gave him all these compliments. Then he came to me. And he just and he kind of let me have it. And there were some things he didn't like, and he felt that I was cocky, and he felt that I was arrogant, and that wasn't my intention, but you know, he felt and he kind of just corrected me in front of everybody. I mean, I wanted the earth to open up and just swallow me down. And I had people come to me from the meeting and say he was wrong. I don't agree with it. You did a great job. I thank God I never took offense. Because I went home and I prayed and I said, Lord, first of all, I want to, is there anything that Pastor Theo said that I was right? And as I think about it, and when I look back, I understand that maybe it could have appeared that way, but it really wasn't in my heart. But I thank God I didn't get offended. I thank God that I just, because Pastor Theo and I are still close. He's my pastor all these years later. All these years later, I didn't let that take offense. I'm sure I've done things to offend him. What I'm trying to say to your family is you are going to have an opportunity to get offended. And you got to realize that that's a trap. It's from the enemy. I'm not taking the bait. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not falling in that. I'm going to keep my heart right. I'm going to live free of offense. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to move on because I want God's plan for my life. Do you agree with me? Come on, give God thanks. Give God some praise today. I want you to say this with me. We're going to pray. We're going to pray right now because there are some folks in here today that you're holding on to things, and today is the day to let it go. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Today's the day to get free because really offense hurts you. The person you're offended with, they may not even be aware of it. And you living your life all mad and all holding on to this, they're not even aware of it. Let's let it go today. Are you ready? Tell your neighbor, let it go. So I want you to pray. I want you to say this. I want everyone to pray with me right now. Say this. Say, Father God, Father in heaven, I ask you to forgive me. If I've been holding on to any offense today, I choose to let that offense go. I will not live with an offended heart. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I forgive anyone who's hurt me. Come on, say, I forgive anyone who's wronged me. Anyone that I'm holding something against, I let it go right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'd bless that person. And I thank you, Father, that as I forgive others, you forgive me of any offense I've caused. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to live free from offense. In the name of Jesus, say this, I make a decision that I'm not going to fall into the enemy's trap. I'm not going to take the bait. I'm going to live my life free of offense. And I entrust my life into the hands of Him, the righteous judge. Lord, I thank you You fight my battles. You defend me. You take care of me. I'm not going to retaliate for things done against me, but I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forget. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Father, I thank you today. Lord, I thank you for touching people's hearts today, and I thank you for setting people free today, and I thank you for healing people today that are sitting here from things that have happened. For Lord, you heal the brokenhearted. I thank you as people release those offenses today, that freedom comes in their life, and I thank you, Lord, that anything that has been holding them back because of this offense, I thank you that now that they've forgiven that, Lord, and now they've let it go, I thank you for breakthroughs in their life. In the name of Jesus, I declare your will shall be done, your purpose shall be accomplished in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Won't you bow your head for a moment, family, as I just want to say one final prayer before we close today. My wife comes forward. I while you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, we never ever like to end a service without giving people the opportunity to just make sure that everything is right, that everything is well between you and the Lord. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and God. I'm not sure today where I stand with God. Listen, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I'm absolutely certain that I would go to heaven. Let me tell you the good news. The good news, the reason you're here today is because you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's washed away. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and the Lord. If that's you, won't you just lift your hand up right now? Just slip it up high. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you today. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I want everyone who lifted up your hand, please say this prayer with me. In fact, church, can we all say this prayer together with them? Everybody, say it out loud. Say, dear God. Come on, let me hear you. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, your word says, if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. And so I do this today. Come on, say it with me. Say, I believe in my heart, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You died on that cross for me. And I ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. Change me. Make me your child because I surrender my life to you. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I will live for you and I will follow you. And I thank you because I have received you. Say, I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father and I am your very own child. And heaven is now my home. And my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said together, amen and amen. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. As we get ready, now my wife's coming. She's going to share a couple of minutes as we get ready to give. I wrote these three things I wrote down last night. I was praying, and I wrote this down. The Lord told me to share this with you. Giving is the highest expression of love that anyone can ever exhibit. For God so loved the world that he gave. I want you to know right now, you have opportunity to exhibit the love that you have for God, because giving is the highest manifestation of love that anyone can exhibit. The second thing I wrote down is tithing is a money multiplier, not a money subtractor. Tithing is a money multiplier, not a money subtractor. Some people think about now is offering time. Oh, yeah, I've got to give. I've got to give somebody who needs to help the church. No, right now is an opportunity for you to see your money multiply, for you to see the windows of heaven open and blessings being poured out upon you, supernatural blessings. Tithing is not a money subtractor. It's a money multiplier. And the third thing is tithing is your proof of your confidence in God and in the greater success of your future. Tithing is the proof of my confidence in God and my confidence of greater success in the future. Can you say amen? We thank God for all our faithful givers and all our faithful tithers. We want you to know we wouldn't be here every week. We wouldn't be if it wasn't for your faithfulness to give and to tithe. So thank you for all who give and support our church. I want you to know we pray for you, and I'm believing God for supernatural blessings to be chasing after you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thanks for doing that.
Well, just come.
That's awesome. That's so good. Tithing is a multiplier, not a subtractor. We believe that, right?
I do.
We believe that we, as we honor God, so He blesses the work of our hands. Amen. And so, and the truth is, we are so grateful. You know, had an interesting thing happen. We were praying here on Tuesday night. And as I walked down the side, we were just praying in the Spirit. As I walked down the side, felt the Lord say to me, I have a pot of gold sitting at the end of every row, and I've positioned people all throughout these rows to dip into the gold that I've put in their life and support my church. So now, you know, the pot of gold is symbolic. It's symbolic of what God's put upon your life. But I found that really interesting. I was reading this week in about Jesus, when the three wise men came to visit him. And the Bible says they opened their treasures and they gave to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you know that it wasn't just like a little wrapped gift with a bow. They gave treasures to Jesus. And it says, my footnote in my Bible says that provided for their ministry, for Joseph and Mary and for Jesus, for them to get out, they went to Egypt, for them, for their ministry in the years to come, that was provision. And it's just the same, God has a way of providing for His house. But how does He do it? He uses you and I. Amen? And so God has put finances in our lives, and He's increasing the finances in our lives, amen, in order that we can further His. He has a vision for this church, and He has provision for this church, but it's within here. And so I want you to trust God. We want it, like Pastor Steve said, we want to build your faith to trust God for increase in your own life and increase so that you can increase your giving into the kingdom of God, because that's how it works, amen. And so, Father, I just pray for every person sitting here. We thank you that it is Deuteronomy says that it is God's power, that we must remember the Lord our God, because it is His power that He gives us the power to get wealth. I thank you for the ability we have to make money, the ability we have to build successful careers, to build new businesses, Father, to gain new contracts. Father, I thank you for every person sitting here. Thank you for an increase upon their life, increase upon their finances, increase upon what they're able to do for the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father, once again, that you are the leader. You are the source of everything needed in Ascend Church. And we always look to you, and we thank you for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. So go ahead and prepare yourself. Thank you to those who've been so faithful. They're people that do reoccurring giving on our app. They do Yeah. Where were you?
You saw the little pot of gold at the end of each row.
Well, yeah.
The pot of gold in each row.
Yeah.
And the Lord told you, I've stationed people in every row. What they're saying is God wants to get blessings to you.
Right.
God wants to get blessings to those who support His house. I mean, if you don't support the house of God, why should God get blessings to you? You're not going to help the house of God. God's looking for people that will support His house.
Right.
Jesus said, if you seek first my kingdom, all these other things will be given to you.
So
right now, as we tithe, as we're supporting the house of God, that God's looking for people who will be faithful to support his house, that he can get more to you.
Amen.
And there are pots of gold. God is saying, I have blessings that I want to pour out upon you. He's looking for people he can trust. Because if you can't be faithful with $100, you won't be faithful with $1 million. If you can't tithe on $1,000, you'll never tithe on $100,000.
Exactly.
You've got to be faithful where you are,
right,
to honor God where you are. And God's looking for people that he can entrust with greater things.
Amen.
I just know there's blessings coming, huge blessings coming. Certain people in this church, you're stepping in to a whole new level. God is looking for people, family. And if you say, Lord, here I am, I will be obedient. I will do, I will honor you. I'll give you the first tenth on everything I receive. You watch what happens. You know. I was reading about someone that did that, Kraft. I think it was Kraft.
Kraft cheese.
I was reading in a book that he made this vow like Jacob did. He said, Lord, if you'll bless me, I'll give you 10% of everything you give me. And became so wealthy, ended up giving away 20, 30, 40%. Let me tell you, God is looking for people. He wants to bring blessing into your life. But God is looking for those who will be faithful to be good stewards and to support the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ in this earth. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So I want you to hold your envelope as you're tithing today. I want you to hold it in your hand because I want to pray over it before we pass the baskets around. And you can give. Did they already pass the baskets around? They already did it. I already was too late for it.
Pray.
Pray anyway. Don't be in such a big hurry. Oh, let me pray anyway. Will you do that? Father, I pray right now for everyone who's faithful to tithe and honor you. You said you'd open the windows of heaven. You said you'd pour blessing that we cannot contain. You said you'd rebuke the devourer. You said you'd call blessings to come chasing after us and overtaking us. You said you'd put a blessing upon our house, Father. And so right now, I thank you, Father, for the windows of heaven open above every tither in this church, that you are pouring out supernatural provision and bringing increase and blessing, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness right now. Amen and amen.
Those watching online, go ahead and give as well.
Absolutely. And don't forget, this Saturday is the first Saturday of November, and so we have prayer from 10 until 11. I want to encourage you. Last time we had prayer, most of you didn't come. Most of you weren't here, but we prayed for you anyway. But I hope that you will come and join us for prayer. Let me tell you, prayer is part of the Christian life. If you don't know how to pray, you've got a problem. That's why we have prayer, so you can learn, teach you how to pray. Come and join us 10 until 11. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm busy. Change your plan. Because there's nothing that you need more than to know how to pray and touch heaven. So this Saturday at 10, we hope to see you at our prayer meeting. And I believe that. Was that everything, Jill? Stand up with us. Would you do that? How many of you are glad? What song were you planning on closing with? That's what I was going to say. How many of you glad that your sin is gone? How many of you glad that it is done? Come on, let's sing as we go today. Can we do that? I'm so glad that it's gone, gone, gone.
Oh, my sin is gone, and I sing hallelujah.
Come on, sing it with us, church. We love you. We love you. Tell your neighbor as you go, I'm so glad to be here today. Bring someone next week to church.